As we come to the end of our four-week retreat entitled Windows on God, I would like to explore the spiritual practice of Sabbath rest and how it can become a window through which we can see God more clearly and experience the world and our place in it more fully. Growing up in Belgium, I was accustomed to shops being closed on Sundays. Even convenience stores would usually be closed, and the only places you could buy something would be a local baker or butcher. I moved to England in 2001 and experienced for the first time the possibility to do shopping on a Sunday. I remember being quite excited at first, but as time passed, I realized that my Sundays were rapidly filled with shopping trips, browsing shops on the high street, or visiting the local shopping mall. To this day, all shops are still closed in Belgium on most Sundays. You can observe a slowing down of the whole pace of life. I can't really put my finger on it, but there is a feeling of rightness and suitability in the practice of closing shops and businesses across the country. Of course, with the digital age, it is now possible to be busy buying and shopping online, even in Belgium. In his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, John Mark Comer explores how the ancient spiritual practice of a Sabbath rest can transform the chronic restlessness of our condition and culture. It can become a window through which we can see God more clearly and experience the world and our place in it more fully. It's always good to start with looking at what words mean. So, what does it mean to take a Sabbath? Well, the word Sabbath comes to us from the Hebrew, Shabbat. And the word literally means to stop. It's a day to stop. Stop working, to stop buying, stop shopping, stop wanting, stop worrying, stop planning. Most of the week, we run around providing security and basic needs for ourselves. But the Sabbath rest is about stopping, to recognize that our lives ultimately come from God. Theology of the Sabbath goes right back to creation itself. God, who creates the heavens and the earth, takes a rest on the seventh day. We read in Genesis 2, verse 2 to 3, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So, on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." From this passage, there seems to be a rhythm of rest worked into the DNA of creation, a tempo which might have something to do with the rightness of closing shops and businesses for one day in Belgium. It's the philosopher H.H. Farmer who said, "If you go against the grain of the universe, you get splinters." I wonder how much of our Western restlessness comes from a lack of practicing a proper Sabbath rest. Now, in the New Testament, after getting into trouble with the religious leaders because of practicing healing on the Sabbath day, Jesus lovingly rebukes them by saying, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." You can find this in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. And Jesus there was reacting to a kind of guilt-orientated religious culture that had missed the intentions of God in establishing a day of rest. For while Sabbath is primarily translated with to stop, it can also be translated by to delight. Dan Allender, in his book Sabbath, writes, "The Sabbath is an invitation to enter delight. The Sabbath, when experienced as God intended, is the best day of our lives. Without question or thought, it's the best day of the week. It is the day we anticipate on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. That's if you take your Sabbath days on the Saturday. And the day we remember on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Sabbath is a holy time where we feast, play, dance, have sex, sing, pray, laugh, tell stories, read, paint, walk, and watch creation in its fullness. Few people, he says, are willing to enter the Sabbath and sanctify it to make it holy, because a full day of delight and joy is more than most people can bear in a lifetime, let alone a week. In its original form, Sabbath is an entire day set aside to follow God's example, to stop and delight in the world, in our lives, and supremely in God Himself. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. The day of rest and delight is a day dedicated to the Lord, to God the Creator, God the Redeemer, God the source of life. It opens a window on God by concentrating our attention and our time on Him, His presence and provision, and the wonders of life for one day. It's an act of worship that is not limited to singing or spending time in prayer and studying scripture, although it certainly should include elements of that. But that embraces everything that will help us discern God's reality, His goodness, and His restorative presence in your life. So, on a Sabbath rest, we might want to share a good meal with friends, walk on the beach or in the forest with a partner, have a glass of wine with a best mate, play games with our children, sit on a patio with a good book. It's a time to enjoy what we already have and to resist the pull of an all-consuming society that constantly tells us that we do not have enough, that more is better. The Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann called the practice of Sabbath an act of resistance. And in The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, John writes, "Can you imagine what would happen to our society if all commerce stopped once a week? If 24/7 stores went 24/6? Websites stopped receiving orders. Amazon warehouses closed for a day. Restaurants powered off the oven. Can you imagine what that would do for the poor in our cities? Creating space for them to rest and spend time with loved ones? Not to mention what it would do for the rest of us. If only we could go an entire day without buying anything." Practice of Sabbath is a way of saying, "I have enough," and a time to enjoy what we have with God. It's the day we consciously choose to stop buying, stop selling, stop shopping, stop surfing the net, stop doing social media, stop answering emails, stop checking news. A day we put all these away and enjoy life with God. A day we rediscover the joy of being grateful and appreciative for what we have and what there is. A restful place where the ordinary is enough. Now, it is important that we are patient with ourselves as we seek to practice a Sabbath rest in our lives. It's a practice so foreign and alien to our culture, even our church culture, that it will take a while to dial it in, and that's okay. It's important to remember that we are not in a hurry. We begin with setting aside a day, and if we can't do that, then we can start with half a day. We clear our schedules, turn off our phones, switch off computers and the TV, invite the Holy Spirit to lead us into God's presence, and then rest, worship, and delight in whatever way is life-giving for you. In the worksheet, I have given some further resources to help us on our journey and learn from those who are experiencing the benefits of a Sabbath rest. So I do hope that you will take the opportunity to explore the Sabbath rest in your life and see how it can become a window through which you can see God more clearly and experience the world and your place in it more fully. Let's finish with a prayer. Father God, may this day bring Sabbath rest to my heart and my home. May your image in me be restored, and my imagination in you be restored. May the gravity of material things be lightened, and the relativity of time slow down. May I know grace to embrace my own finite smallness in the arms of God's infinite greatness. May your word feed me, and your spirit lead me into the week and into the life to come. Amen.